One, this is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the show that we talk about the Akashic Records. We take your questions. We hopefully answer your questions, as well as we give you things to think about. And again, for those who are just tuning in for the first time, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, every word, every deed is registered in the Akashic Record. And that energy is what surrounds us. It holds our soul's purpose, or our agenda, if you will, our curriculum for this lifetime, or it holds the many probabilities and possibilities for experience in this lifetime, as well as the information from the past. But the majority of the work that I do with the Akashic Record, with personal consultations and on this show, is to help people stay in the here and now and help them understand how they can move forward from here, where they're at, to where they want to be. And you also can take classes and learn how to read your own Akashic Records. So I do individual consultations, I do lectures, and I do workshops. And again, my name is Donna, D-A-H-N-A. Donna, D-A-H-N-A, Donna Fox. And you can email me a question tonight on tonight's show if you're close to your computer, which hopefully you are. You can email me a question at info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. Just like the show, akashicwisdom.com. That's info at akashicwisdom.com. And or you can call in. You can call in to VBS Radio with your questions. I would love to have your current legal name. So if you want to email me your current legal name, that'd be great, because that's how I access the records. I say a specific sacred prayer that I have been taught and that I teach, and then that's how I open my records for the show. But in order, it's really helpful if I have your current legal name, so you can email that to me, again, at info@akashicwisdom.com. But if you'd like to call in, you can call in at 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or 530-413-4520, or you can also use 415-287-0074. Just as a comment, though, if you know somebody who's driving and they can't get to the internet, you can listen to the show via phone. You just have to call in. This is specifically just to listen by the phone. It's call 712-432-0075, and the code is 318-116. And the pound sign, and that should get you the program to listen to it on your telephone. Okay, so we have a variety of questions to go over today, and please, again, feel free to email me your questions. But one of the things, you know, this is a very special week. It's the week before Christmas, and, you know, it's there are many people that have said that that Jesus was not born on Christmas Day, and I think that if you've done any research, you really know that that's true. That he was actually born sometime nearer to spring. But that doesn't really make a difference. The reason why that doesn't make a difference is because it's really more about the energy of the season. And we've come now to a point of cultural indoctrination, where we open our hearts to celebrate the birth of this innocent child that has then grows up to be a deity, or the son of a deity, son of God, that folks all over the world worship. Now, whether you believe in Jesus, whether you believe he's your savior, whether you believe he's your brother, whether you believe he even existed at all. That's not what we're going to talk about tonight. But what we are going to talk about is the symbolism of what Christmas or the birth of this innocent child means to you in your life in the here and now. And so the question that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records would like you to ask yourself is, how can I be my own savior? And the reason that's important, and again, it's not to diminish your belief. It's not to even challenge your belief. That's not the intention of that comment. But if you go along with the comment that, you know, God helps those who help themselves, if you also go along with the comment of the law of attraction, that you have to move in the area for which you want to create, it's like anything else. You know, you can't win the lottery unless you buy a ticket. And so part of this life is for us to really create our stepping stones for the way we want to create our life. Now, clearly, we are not the only ones involved here, and that we are deeply assisted by the divine. That is absolutely true, and I would never say or intimate anything but the fact that we are partners with the divine. But the issue is who are we giving our power to? You see, we have come onto this planet, and we have come into a lifetime where we have decided to be a creator. And this planet gives us the opportunity to be a creator within our own right. So it's logical that if, in fact, we can be our own creator, if we create our life according to what we truly want, if we, in fact, are creating our reality by our thoughts, by our feelings, and by our actions, if you hold to that, then we can also be our own savior. And the reason, what that means in this context is that the only way that you can truly take your power back is to begin to exercise your power for what you truly want. And so being your own savior means that you need to be very clear about what is working in your life and what isn't working in your life, not from a point of view of what other people have created, but from a point of view of what are your actions equaling. And so this is deep work. You see, we as humans have come to this wonderful planet that we call planet Earth. And we've come here to experience all the lush, wonderful sensory experiences there are here. Now, at the same time we've come to experience these wonderful savory the sensual delights, and I'm not speaking just sexual here, I'm talking about to luxuriate in the smell of a good cup of coffee, or to be in awe of a beautiful sunset or a sunrise. That's what we're talking about here. But the reality is what's happening is that we've also been given the power to manifest through our mind and our emotions. And whatever situation we're in now, I am the first one to believe and to know and to have experienced how we can change our current circumstances and turn them around. Now, sometimes they're overnight. Sometimes they take a while. But we have to root through the various belief systems that are roaming around there that possibly would drag us down. And so when we're looking to be our own savior, if you will, we really want to begin to look at what needs rebirthing within us. And if, in fact, we look at the birth of the baby Jesus as a time of being reborn, as a time of rebirthing our inner being or our inner child, and for a time around rebirthing the innocent within, then we can look at this time of the year as totally moving forward in a way that allows us to look upon ourselves as that newborn child, as that innocent babe in the beautiful manger. And as we look at that child that is within us, that we were once, we can literally take a look at all the things that possibly didn't work in our life, not from a guilt point of view, but from a point of view of learning. And what we have done up to this point in our life has prepared us for taking the next step in what our life is going to be. Now, what drags us down is feeling guilty about what we didn't do, or what feeling guilty or frustrated or angry at ourselves for choices that we made that were not to our benefit. This is a time of year that we can look upon that inner being within ourselves as that innocent child, and we can actually become our own savior because we have this time. We can recreate ourselves. We don't have to wait for a time of year, by the way. It just seems to come up at this point. You can choose to recreate yourself at any moment because it all has to do with choice. And it has to do with choice and follow through. And you know that some people have a hard time with that because the follow through happens to have become dependent on what they believe deep down inside. Sometimes things that they haven't even uttered to anyone, but beliefs they're holding about what they're worthy about receiving. And so it's really about talking to ourselves about what needs to be rebirthed, what needs to be received, what needs to be let go. And what they're showing me, interesting, is the symbolism of the barn where the legend says that Jesus was born. And if we look at the surroundings, we first have to look at that among the area for which this child was brought forward, there are beautiful animals in their perfection, but there's also a lot of dung. There's a lot of waste. There's a lot of crap in a barn that needs to be cleared the same way it needs to be cleared from your life. At the same time, we have to notice that the legend also says is that there is a star that guides these wise men to this child to bring gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we need to look at the symbolism of what is our star that is guiding us and what guides are coming forth at this time in our life, at this time of the year, to bring us golden gifts of insight, of motivation, of love, of reverence. Who are the wise people within our lives that are here for us to listen to? Now they may be in human form, they may be in guidance and spirit. It may be in the form of a book. It may be in the form form of a friend or a parent. And so it's very important that we take a look at what we need to do. And the interesting thing about this particular time in our life is we really need to look at the different things that, again, need to be rebirthed. We're also going to be talking tonight about relationships, if you will, between family members, specifically how to repair the relationships with women in our lives. Many times women have very hard times with relationships with women. So we're going to specifically talk about the dynamic between mothers and daughters tonight. We've got a full program. At the same time, we really want to take your questions, and we really want you to email me your questions, because this program is truly for you. But so now we, you know, last time, by the way, the reason I wasn't here on live on the air last time was because I was traveling. So I so deeply appreciate you being patient with me, and I hope you enjoy the program that I picked out for you to listen to. But last time that I was on would be the 5th of December. Now, the 5th of December, we were talking about questions that would help you to resolve what we're talking about right now, as a matter of fact. And thanks to Lisita Garcia, who has been kind enough to transcribe some of my shows, because I actually don't remember what I say, so I read them again and I go, oh, it's pretty good stuff. I surprise myself, even though it's not about me. It's only, you know, clearly I bring forth what I see, hear, and sometimes feel from the master teachers and loved ones of the Akashic Records. But as I read the information and reread it, I see how important it can be to people and how important it is to keep doing this program. It'll be 6 years in February. And so one of the questions that we were talking about on the 5th is to really ask yourself about loving yourself, because that's part of what we're doing here. I hope I'm still on the air. One of the questions that we had been asking, and let me just get to this, because what would it look like? What would it feel like to love ourselves? In other words, and some of those questions are very important. And the questions truly are, let me just get this right. The question that we want to really ask is,
Hello,
Carmel, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm good. This is a friend of mine from Minnesota, and I recognize your voice right away. Thank you for calling in.
No problem.
All right. So ask your question. I want some feedback from you.
I should tell you that was able to repair my relationship with my daughter today.
Okay.
Just today.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm still trying to figure out how to repair the relationship with my mothers, and in the point that I have a birth mother that put me up for adoption, and then my adopted mother, and right now I seem to be on the outs with both of them. So my question is, how, I know these relationships are dysfunctional, and is it worth it to repair it because of the dysfunction? And if it is, how do I protect myself in the process? Does that make sense?
Yes, certainly. I think there, especially holiday times are especially fraught with questions just like you're having. In other words, like, you know, whenever families get together, there's usually a lot of dysfunction. And the dysfunction is, I'm not saying this is in your situation, but the dysfunction is actually even made larger with everyone celebrating and drinking and things like that. So, but the idea here is that there's a dynamic here between mothers and daughters, but that is dysfunctional to begin with. So, who do you want to start with? Who do you want to talk about first? Your birth mother or your adoptive mother?
My mom is, my adopted mom is the one I call mom, and
okay.
I actually miss her.
You said you miss her?
I do miss her.
Now,
is
she still on the planet, right?
Oh, yeah, they're both still. They're both still.
Okay. And how long have you been? How long have you not been talking or having a hard time with your mom, the one, your adopted mom?
Mom. Just
call
her mom.
Okay, mom.
Since my brother died, which was 2007.
See, you've not talked to her since 2007?
No.
Okay, and would you like to share a little bit about what the original rift was of why you stopped talking?
Oh, can you believe it? It was property. When my brother passed away, my brother was gay, and his partner, he left the house to his partner. They had adopted a son. And he left the house to his partner. But when my brother died, it's like my family just came in and totally bogarted in that house, didn't want to listen to the partner, even though it was his house and his stuff. Anyway, they wanted us to go through and put our names on things that we wanted. Okay, fine. The situation wasn't that it was in and of itself, it wasn't all that big of a deal, but it was like the final straw. My daughter came in and got a coffee pot, a coffee maker thing. And I guess there was coffee still in it. But so that's what she took home. My mother called me at work the next day and started fussing at me about this doggone coffee pot. And, you know, so not only did I go off, but it was like, okay, I've had it with all this petty stuff. And so it was a rift over stuff, but like I said, it was like the final straw to stuff that had been going on for years, and I had just finally had it. Enough already.
And so, were you protecting your daughter, or were you more voicing your frustration with being criticized?
All of the above, and then some.
Yeah. And what was the response from your mom?
We basically battled back and forth. And then we just kind of left it at that.
Okay. And so you've just never come never back together, is that right?
Yeah.
I just need to listen for a minute. What is your mom's first name?
Elizabeth.
And the same last name as yours right now?
No, her last name is Rice.
R-I-G-H-T?
R-I-C-E.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, has she made any effort to come in contact with you? Nor have you.
No.
So for the past 3 years, okay, is this the third year? That
it might even be 2005 that we had it. I really don't remember the year my brother died, but I thought it was 07, but it may be 05.
Okay. All right. So what do you really want to see happen here? What do you really want here?
I would like to know how she's doing. I would like to be able to have a mom who, I realize I'm not her birth child. She's made that clear. But, I mean, she brought me home from the hospital, so in my mind, she's mom.
Sure.
I'd like to have a mom. And if I have a conversation with her, it's our conversation, not a fun topic to discuss with everybody else. I just want to have a mom.
So you're raising another issue here. You're saying that she doesn't keep your confidence and she doesn't, it's hard to trust her. Is that what you're saying?
That too. That's why I said it's a whole big gamut of a bunch of stuff. And that's why I said, you know, this one last thing was like the final straw of a bunch of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I just want to have a mom that I can have a conversation with, that, you know, if we have it out, we can at least discuss it, and then it's done.
Do you suspect that she's capable of that?
I don't know.
The reason that's being asked is because there may be a discrepancy between what you want and what she's capable of offering. And you need to look at that possibility. And so the reality is she can only be who she is. It's not like, quite frankly, somebody waves a magic wand and all of a sudden she becomes the mom you've always wanted, when she, in fact, has not been the mom you've always wanted. She's just been a mom. I mean, that's not at all making it less than it, but what the reality is, what's being said is you cannot change her personality of who she is. No one can change that. Only she can change if she sees need, and that's what is her desire.
Okay.
You do get that, right?
I get that, yeah. I don't like the answer, but I get it.
Well, but the reality is that, you know, she's truly not a piece of clay that you can mold any way you want. She is who she is. And quite frankly, the choice was made for her to be your mom in this lifetime from a soul's perspective. And the choice was also made by her to have you as her daughter. And so the reality here is more about you deciding what is it going to take within you to be able to love her and accept her exactly the way she is. What needs to shift in you for you to love her unconditionally? Because that's really what you want from her. Is that correct?
Yeah,
does that make sense?
I've got questions for her and for my birth mother and the issue that I was having with my daughter.
Because the reality is we cannot change anyone. We can only modify ourselves. And the reason why the comment is coming down, modify, is because the reality is there's only so much we can quote-unquote change about ourselves without being uncomfortable and not staying within our integrity and our authenticity. Because if, in fact, we change or bend to make such accommodations for others, we are not being real. And when we're not real, we start getting angry at ourselves. And when we get angry at ourselves, we start creating different pockets of shame because we don't speak our truth. But the reality is that we can speak our truth and we can accept people exactly the way they are based on the component of love within our heart and the ability of non-judgment. However, this is real important. non-judgment is very hard to attain until the work of forgiveness has been done.
Makes sense.
And the work of forgiveness is more around forgiving yourself for where you feel you're lacking than actually forgiving your mom or your birth mom. Do you understand why?
Yeah, I get it.
And for those people who are listening that don't get it, this is an important piece. The reason that's important is until self-forgiveness happens, when these folks that we want to love unconditionally speak to us in a dysfunctional way, the only way to neutralize their words is to love ourselves enough and to have forgiven ourselves enough that those words have no more power. Because we realize they're only that person's opinion. It has nothing to do with the truth of who we are.
Okay.
And so the reality here is that it's the internal work of loving yourself enough to allow yourself to love her in spite of herself. And to truly give up the need to control, because you hate the idea that she tries to control you so much. Is that true?
My birth mother, yes.
Yeah. Well, so,
but
you understand that the control here that mom has over you is more subtle and manipulative than even your birth mother. We'll take a look at it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah. Notice how it feels in your body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that what's subtle and what is not apparent is really important, because that's what is affecting us energetically and that we can't seem to put our finger on. You still with me? Carmel, are you still there? Oops, I think I lost you. And so call back. But what I want to say, and I hope I'm still on the air, because sometimes I don't know. So if I'm not on the air, somebody needs to call me or they need to email me so I know that I'm still on the air. But it's important for all of us to take a look at that. And it's important for us to really move forward into our own beingness and to see where we have to really release the anger we're holding within us for the choices we've made. And that's what we were talking about earlier, about how to be your own savior at this time of the year. And I hope that makes sense to you, all of you. Okay, I hope that kind of helps you understand a little bit more about where we're at here. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to call the station to make sure that I am still on the air, because I'm not hearing any feedback here, and I don't like that. I'm calling on another line here. Okay, let me just make sure that I'm still on. Because, hello, Don, if I'm there, if I'm on, can you just whisper in my ear that I'm still on the air? Because I feel like I'm not.
Yes,
oh,
you're still
am
there.
Am I on the air?
You're still on.
Okay, what happened to Carmel? She just dropped?
Yes, she'll come right back. She'll be right.
Okay, great. All right, I'll bring her back on whenever you're ready. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. Okay, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we just have to get a little bit of our technicalities done, thank God, for extra phone lines, right? So whenever Carmela is ready to come on back on the air, we can finish up talking to her and answer any other questions she might have. So, but for those people who would like to call in and comment about how this works in your life or how this aspect is happening, we would love to hear from you. So please, you can call in at 530-413-4511 or 530-4... Hi there, Carmel. I'm just going to give the phone numbers for anybody else who wants to call in. 530-413-4515, 530-413-4520, or there's also San Francisco is 415-287-0074. Okay, I kind of lost you. I don't know how that call dropped, but you're back. I'm glad you're back, Carmel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want to say everything that you said made sense because the same thing that's happening to me is the same exact thing that I did to my daughter. So I actually had to apologize, and I mean sincerely apologize, in order for the two of us to be able to start from now and go forward. You know, I can't, like I told her, I can't do anything about the damage that's already been done.
Right, right.
I'm sorry for that, but I can't bring the past back. But if we can start from right now and get to know each other again going forward. So it just seems like now that I've done my part with my daughter, now it's like I would really like it if my parents, my mother would do this with me. And like you said, I know that's not going to happen.
The piece is you can't try to make peace with her with the expectation that it is going to happen. You have to make peace with her just straight out without expectation. And you also have to let yourself off the hook a little bit here, too, because the way you were raised with the attitudes of your mom, okay, is the way you raised your daughter.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, in other words, like we continue until we wake up and say, this is really not what I want, this is not working, until we come to that conclusion, we raise our children the way we were raised. And then what happens is that we notice that there are similarities between our relationship with our children and a relationship that was with our parent or parents. And we say, wow, don't like that. How do I fix it? And what you did with your daughter is very important, but it's also very important to really let her know that when you were raising her, this is not an excuse. It's important for her to realize, because if she decides to have kids one day, she needs to break that cycle now.
Sure.
Okay, she needs to break that cycle now. At whatever growth a point they are, well, however old they are, she needs to break the cycle that she learned at your knee, same way you're breaking the cycle that you learned at your mom's knee.
Okay.
And so it's really about, it's the fact that you are with her and you reconciled is fabulous. And when you speak to her in this regard, she's probably going to know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Would that make sense to you?
It does, yes.
So that's going to be important. That's an important conversation. Does she have girls?
Yeah, four girls, yes.
And how old are they now?
12, 10, 8, and 3.
And so she has that 12-year-old she's really going to start with soon, because, I mean, she can still salvage those other ones, but the 12-year-old, what I'm hearing, is a very headstrong child. And she's going to need to really move into her space of non-judgment from a guidance point of view. You see, non-judgment doesn't mean that you let kids walk all over you. Non-judgment means that you don't try to manipulate them into being a cookie cutter of who you are.
Okay.
So do you understand how that works?
Oh, big time. Yes. Everything that you're saying makes big sense.
Yeah.
It's, and that's exactly what I have been doing to my daughter. I have been expecting her to act accordingly, and she hasn't done that. And it's like either my way or no way.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, please, I got better things to do with my time. So that's where we clash.
Right. And that's also what your mom's been doing with you. Both moms, by the way.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. And so somebody's got to drop the rope. And just be straight about what their expectations are for themselves. And you know, it's interesting. It's really important that we all truly dance to our own drummer. At the same time, we can't step on anybody else's toes while we're dancing. It's not about conforming so much as it is being aware of how to be able to move ourselves in a way that's non-judgmental for others while maintaining our own authenticity.
It makes sense. Makes big sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's great to see you. I'm looking forward to coming back into Minnesota sometime soon.
I got another question.
Sure.
Which isn't on the topic.
It's all right.
So I don't know if it's okay to ask it or not.
Sure, of course it is. Of course it is.
Okay. So when I had talked to you last, I had told you about my creativity and how things are going and what I'd like to do.
Uh-huh.
And I did get, in a dream actually, a design and a color they gave me the design, what it's supposed to be, and the color, and they left it up to me to pick the right material.
Okay.
And
they, you're talking about, are the master teachers and loved ones or your guidance?
Say that again.
I mean, so you're speaking they when you're talking about masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Record? Or
yes.
your guide? Okay, yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm not. Right. Look, oh. I take that back. I'm not really sure where it came from. I just know when I talked to you, what you had told me was that they'll send you what you need. And,
okay.
And I got
right.
it. It kind of freaked me out when it came through like that. But,
Be careful what you wish for, right?
Yes, but I mean, What I'm saying now is, I'm good with this. I have made peace with this, and I'm. How do I? So my question to the Akashic Records is, how? What do I need to do within me to be more receptive to hear the next project?
Okay. Well, first of all, what they're suggesting is that you be open to receive it in any way it shows up, number one. Because it may not be that you're going to hear it. What I'm actually hearing right now is that you may look at something, and by looking at, and they're not showing me what it is, but by looking at something, it will inspire you, like catapult you in a different direction, but for whatever reason, whatever you see will trigger something within you to create something new. I don't mean to be vague, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not, what you're saying is not vague to me at all.
Oh, okay, great. So the other piece is, so really it's really about being open to receiving it in any way that shows up. It could be a song. It could be a painting. It could be another piece of material. It could be a piece of material. It could be a comment. It could be a picture or television or something. It could be something so off the wall or untraditional that it'll put you in a double take. But it will literally expand your brain that you'll want to grab a piece of paper and say, I've got to write this down. And that's the other piece. Don't assume when the inspiration or the idea comes that you'll remember. Make sure to write it down.
Okay.
So keep that little notebook in your purse, okay?
I just finally got done unpacking all of my stuff, and what did I find? It's my little sketchbook.
There you go. Okay. Well, make sure to keep that with you. Because it's really about...
It's amazing how the universe kind of smacks you upside your head every so often.
Yes, isn't it, though? Yes, it is. You know, so the other piece is the more open you are to receiving,
mm-hmm.
the more you will receive. And so what that means is receiving is about accepting help. It's about saying thank you. And it's about maintaining your independence without stubbornness.
There goes that word again. Oh, God.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing for you. So if somebody wants to open a door, if somebody wants to carry some groceries, if somebody wants to help you, accept it. Just say thank you. And realize that you've been sent an angel. And so it's always about saying, thank you, God. Thank you for this angel who has come forward in my life.
Okay.
Okay?
That makes sense to me. Thank you very much, Donna.
You're welcome.
Angel.
You're welcome. Happy to be one for you. As a vehicle of the master's teachers and loved ones, the Akashic Record, happy to be one for you. So I'm wishing you a very... Okay, well, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I look forward to hearing from you again. Please keep in touch. And tell your son I said
that.
Hello.
I'll do that.
Okay, dear. All right, bye-bye. We have another question here from a gentleman by the name of Ron. He wants to know, how can I tap into information of past lives to help me in this life? And so the piece here is that... what's interesting about this question is that it doesn't say what information he wants, but the reality is that here's what I'm hearing, is that the answers to the help in this life don't always lie in the information of past lives. And so what's being recommended here for Ron is that you actually move into creating a plan of what you truly want to do. And you really need to look at what makes your heart sing. And the relationships that you're having now that are challenges aren't necessarily so much from past lives as how they've been qualified in this life because of early hearing belief systems, but that's not what it feels like, from early opinions. And so if you would like to call in, Ron, and discuss it, that would be great. Again, the more specific the question, the better the answers. But if you're looking for a technique to tap into past lives, clearly there are many meditation tapes out there that you can do that with. You can actually take a level one Akashic Records workshop, and you can learn how to access the Akashic Records, and then you could ask questions about your past lives. But I encourage you to stay in the present and see what areas of your life and what beliefs you are holding around not moving forward for whatever reason. But do email again, because I think it's an important question, and I appreciate you asking those questions. So there was also a question a few weeks ago from someone here. I've just got to look it up. And it was from Brent or Brad. Now let me just go and look here. I'm looking on my computer. And again, if you'd like to email a question, feel free to info@akashicwisdom.com. info@akashicwisdom.com. That would be good. All right, now I'm not finding it, so maybe he can email me again. I'm going to just do a search here and see. Okay, here we go. All right, this is a show from the question. The question is, here we are, wait just a minute. What is blocking me from creating, attracting, accepting, and maintaining the abundance and prosperity of the universe? Well, that was the question that Brent had from December 5th. Now, what's interesting about that question is that this is a universal question that we all want to understand. And this is the perfect time of year for us to want to understand it, because we want to be able to open our hearts. And part of one of the reasons why we still live in lack is because we haven't opened our hearts to people or ourselves. And so if you notice what was being said to Carmel, it's about really the forgiveness, and it's also about the beliefs that we're holding. You know, we are such integral, complex creatures. And yet we're wired to make things simple. That's where the interesting rub is, if you will. We make things a lot more complicated than they are. And if you'll remember, we were talking about making up stories about how things are. So the idea here is abundance and prosperity have to do with not only mental attitudes, but also feelings. So what we want to do is get real clear about what feelings are we allowing ourselves to feel when it comes to manifesting what we truly want, whether it be a successful business, talking about more dollars, a healthy relationship, whatever the abundance is that we want to have. We need to look at what feelings are we, and now this is important, I want you all to write this down. What feelings am I allowing myself to have around manifesting what I truly want? And notice if there's any negative feelings of, I can't get it, it'll be too hard, or there may be feelings of, I don't deserve it, or I don't know how it's going to come, or because we have to. There's a Mike Dooley from Tut.com talks about the dreaded hows, and we don't have to worry about the hows so much as we have to just trust and have the feelings of what it feels like. That doesn't mean that we don't move towards what we truly want, because remember, if we're acting in accordance with what we truly want that brings us joy, we are acting in partnership with the universe. So we have to remember that. We have to definitely remember that. And so Brent, what's important for you to really begin to discover is what brings you the greatest joy. And what can you align with that brings you so much joy that it will automatically magnetize the abundance and prosperity of the universe to you? Because when we're in the feeling of love, joy, we align ourselves with our own divinity. And that alignment creates a energy field that literally acts as a magnet for more good feelings. And, you know, I'm sure you've all heard this before, and I'm sure you're probably tired of hearing it by now, but the reality is it works. So why break something if it's not broken? And why try to go up the river when it's so much easier than to go down the river? So the suggestion is that, is to try to find, is not to try, but to find something that brings you the greatest joy. And at the same time, be aware that whatever you're doing now, if you look upon it as, I'm only doing it until I get enough money to do what I love, and you're not looking for any joy within your current work, then that's going to hamper you as well. Every position, every job has a place of joy and service already built into it. And it's up to you to find out where that joy and service is. Because as soon as you can unlock the joy and service, that the job you currently have is going to be so much more manageable, it's going to be easier, and it's going to be so much more successful. And you are going to be on your way to truly shifting your feeling and your feelings to manifest even more. But it's got to start somewhere. You have to be the pebble in the pond, and you have to allow the rings of manifestation to move forward and outward from within you. So I hope this has been helpful tonight. The dynamic between mothers and daughters has not been solved. It never will be solved. The dynamic between mothers and daughters is something that I look at, and I research. But I know that we can no longer, whether it's any relationships we have, we can no longer expect people to be the way we want them to be. We have to love them for who they are, whether or not we like it, or whether or not it's within our approval zone, if you will. If there are relatives, and if they're meaningful people in our lives, then we cannot put it to change them. We have to truly look at to love them for who they are. Because the more they know they're loved, the softer, the more pliable, and the more loving they will be also. So this is a time for opening your heart. The recommendation is for you, for those of you who feel inspired, the recommendation is that you open your heart and your pocketbook to give to those who inspire you. This is a time of tithing, and this is a time that when you feel inspired, you need to be able to give to those who inspire you, who care for you and serve you. And so whether it's a church or an organization or a person or a radio show, whatever, it's time for you to truly just open your heart and open your wallet or checkbook or whatever to just, and it's not about a lot of money. It's whatever, it's about honoring the people in your life who inspire you, whoever that may be. Let them know. It could be just an email that says, and that gives them, it's your generosity of spirit and thought. But if you in fact can tithe to those who inspire you, it will actually begin a flow that will help you actually align yourself within the universal flow. It's like the more you give, the more you get type thing. So it's not about putting anybody in a financial bind. It's about helping and honoring those who inspire you. So that's what this week is for. It's about honoring those who inspire you. It's about you looking within your heart to be your own savior. It's about really looking into your heart to look about what you want to rebirth from the innocence that's within you. It's about traveling back to your own innocence and loving yourself and seeing yourself as a newborn babe. And from that place of innocence, create a new story for you. Every day is a new beginning. Every moment, every second is a new beginning. And so it's up to you to make your choices to create the new beginning. Well, it is time for us to close. Next time I talk to you will be the day after Christmas and a week before New Year's. So let's talk about New Year's resolutions on December 26th. I really want you to email me your New Year's resolutions. Let's see what we can do to help you create those. And we will go from there. So this is Donna Fox with Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on BBS Radio. If you'd like to call me privately, my telephone number here in Cleveland is 216-691-1233. And I will be having my schedule up for January and February soon, which will include for sure a teleconference for the Level 1 Akashic Records so that everyone or anyone in around the world can join in and learn how to access their own Akashic Records. Okay, so it's time for me to say goodnight. So we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We want to say that everyone out there who's been listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, may they be inspired, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on December 19th, 2010, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Have a miracle-filled week, folks, and I'll talk to you next week. Send in your questions. Okay. Good night.